It's May the 5th, 2015, in the Lucy Coleman Studio, Los Angeles, California, in the United States of America, on God's good, great planet Earth. Yes, it still belongs to God, believe it or not. You can be an atheist, an agnostic. You can be whatever you want to be, but this is not your planet. It belongs to something, someone higher than all of us. You know, I was listening to the news, and there's always a lot of naysayers. And these naysayers are talking about black people in the black community and how they live. And, you know, I find it extraordinary that it usually comes from sources from outside of the community that has never taken enough space or time to really consider what that community is all about. I'm kind of rushed this morning because I'm getting ready to go to work, but I do want to get this webcast out while it's fresh on my mind. My good friend the G-Man sent me a video clip. It was on YouTube, and I don't know who the guy is in particular. Probably don't even know how to go back to the YouTube clip and look at it again. But it was an African-American male speaking about some of the problems that's been going on not only in Ferguson and in Baltimore and all over the country. And it's been on his mind also. As a matter of fact, he's very young, very articulate black man, light-skinned guy with a bald head, married, I understand, from his dialogue. And guess what? He's just like me. He loves African-American males. And he says that the major problem with a lot of people today, and especially amongst our own kind, meaning African-American males, is that they do not know how to love one another. They've never loved one another. We've never respected each other. You know, with the proclivity to call each other niggers and you my nigga and all this stuff. And without any shame. Now, let me say this right now. That is a term of endearment for black people. You have to live in the community to know that. And it's a special term that's used when brothers come together and they really like each other. It's a very good term, but it is used negatively, and it is very embarrassing to many African Americans who have achieved economically, politically, and spiritually, let's put it that way. They think that the term is negative. I'm not going to get into that because at times I use it with a few of my friends that I'm very endeared to. Now, you may not like that, but guess who's not concerned about what you don't like? Because I'm sure that when you with your buddies and your girlfriends or whatever you do, you have special language. I know we teach our children not to use those terms because of the derogatoriness of the term used by especially people in a Jim Crow kind of a background that uses that term negatively. I don't walk around with a chip on my shoulder because I'm black. I just happen to accept the fact that my mom and dad were black. If they were white, I would have been white. Okay, that's the way that goes. So I'm not going to start off this webcast talking about foolish things. But let's talk about this. Why is there just sex going on in our community? See, in our community, it's just sex. You don't find a young man courting his woman anymore. You don't find that. You know, I talk with a lot of Christian families that have daughters, and they want their daughters to find a nice Christian boy to marry, and so that they can have children, carry on the traditions of their family like their family did and their family did before them, and so on and so on. Well, that's almost impossible now. If you focus upon the kind of individuals that live in the inner cities where they can barely get a job. Now, you know what? I know what the Bible says. The Bible says, I believe in Psalm 119, wherewithal shall a young man keep his way pure? And the psalmist answered the question by saying, by taking heed according to his word. All right, you give that to a young black man. And you go ahead and get into the New Testament scriptures, and it says, thou shalt not do this, do that, do this, do that. Everybody's having sex. every religion, everybody's having sex. Now, I'm not going to try to stop the sex train or the sex wagon or the sex bus. It's going to happen, but as Christians and as moral, spiritual people, we adhere to what God would tell us. I'll just say that right up front. We're supposed to adhere to that. But is it practical to think that most of our young people are going to follow that mandate today? Number one, they're not going to church. Number two, they're not reading their Bible. Number three, they believe that that old archaic Christian and Judaism and those religions, and even in some cases Islam, even though it is the fastest growing faith in this country right now, they have not placed their confidence in not only what we call the Word of God, but they have not placed their confidence in anyone that would tell them. They would say to me, that is such an ignorant deposition that you're trying to get me to adhere to. No sex? No, they're saying just sex. And so when they get together with your daughters and the females with your sons, because these females are very aggressive in this new spirited age that I'm living in, and since these females are very aggressive, they are after your sons, especially if they think that your sons are physically attractive. Now, you know, we can't get away from it here in this country. We have some males that are physically attractive to females and some that are physically bodacious. And coffee. And some of these young women are after the most articulate, athletic, the cute, curly-haired, dimple-in-the-cheek boys, and they can find, because they know about genetics and they want that baby. That's all they want. They want that baby. Maybe now, let's look at the growth pattern. You got people out there just having sex. So these boys are going to give it up, and these girls are going to give it up. That's the kind of a world we live in. If you think, and I'm just being truthful with it, I used to teach it when I was behind the pulpit. I was telling the people in the church, don't have sex outside of marriage. Do you know what I was doing? I was pushing the idea that it is marriage that holds the family together and all of these traditions. That's where we have our traditional. That's where our, how can I put it, our thesis is developed, okay? And that is developed in the church. But how can it be developed in the church when you have the scandalous behavior of the pastors in the church? Not only ripping off the money, but it's just sex with them too. And so young people are not going to look at that. They see the hypocrisy of that whole situation. And I'm serious when I say that, because if you find one thing wrong with an institution, as an apologist, that's what I do. I look at Christianity and I find, now wait a minute, I'm not talking about one thing wrong with me, because I can get, you know, an iPad and fill up a whole page with things that are wrong with me. So I'm not trying to make myself out like the puritanical idiot that a lot of people think I am. I'm not that. If anything, I am a realist. All right, I lay it on the line. I can't help it. I'm a philosopher. I look at everything philosophically. I always have. When I was a young preacher, before I was ordained as a pastor, I looked at it philosophically. I did not see following God as something that was popular. I saw following God as something that kept my life in shape. You look at me now at 71. I don't look 71 because I didn't live like just sex. I was a virgin till I was 21 years old in the army. And then when I married my wife at 23, to this date, I have only had sex with three women. Okay, really two, because one was my wife. Okay, I won't go into any extra marital affairs. I didn't have any while I was married. I'm not going to sign off as Mr. Puritanical. I'm not, because if I did that, I'd be lying. Okay? Now, I know that when someone is of a religious nature and they say, well, I haven't done that, but I'm wondering what you have done. So none of us can stand up and say in a puritanical way, maybe a very few, but when I'm talking about people in my community, there's not too much relations going on between black men and black women because of the distrust and the hate and the sour tones that come from the streets of our city when you see people relating. I was also looking at my Facebook this morning, and a young man pointed out that Mayweather, the boxer, is a wife beater. And he had on the Facebook report, the police report of one of the children, pointing out how Floyd beat his wife and like that. That's very commonplace. Black hatred amongst black married people is prevalent. I was married to a black woman. I was married to a Filipino. And if I ever raised my hand to hit her, she told me that she would machete me immediately. I never hit her in the 34 years that I was married. I've never been the kind of man that wanted to hit anybody, male or female. I have never had that kind of aggression in me. I I try to, get myself, well, if I had to strike someone, I would really find that difficult. I am not a coward. I have to check myself because when I think about what some of these cops are doing to some of these young boys out here, and I jump in that fray in a minute. I ain't scared of nobody when they start beating up my young brothers like that. Just beating them. It was a clip that I was looking at. I think it was in New York City. The police were trying to handcuff a 12-year-old boy, and a plainclothes officer just runs in the fray and starts to beat the boy in his kidneys, just start to pound him in his kidneys. And one young lady on the side said, "What are you doing? What are you doing here?" That cop is going to go home and get his paycheck. He should be fired immediately. And so when we tell somebody, stop having sex, marry and live like decent people, why are all these black men making these babies and not taking care of these babies? And right. They haven't seen a male role model in their whole lives. Their daddy wasn't there. Their daddy just had sex. A lot of these kids that you see in the streets like that, being raised by these single mothers, they just had sex one night. Mama put on that tight dress. Her behind was out of breast, hanging all out. She went to the club. They partied all night. And I'm just keeping it graphic because I want to let you know what life is like. Unless you're living in the halls of ecclesia, all closed off in the church somewhere, thinking that everything is lilacs and roses and stuff. It's not like that. And it happens in the Hispanic neighborhood, the whites, the Asian, all of them. It's just sex. People are making babies. Very few people are getting married. Think about it. How many people you see going to, wait a minute, you can't go to the average church in any part of town. If you do go to a church, you're going to find it filled with a bunch of women praying to God to send them a man. And God is not in the sending them a man thing. And so those women are going to go out and have some sex. Then these women come up pregnant. See, and the first, see, I tell a young man, don't mess with these women, because when you mess with these women, and these women, these women are going to the county, and they're going to have that baby. Number one, they're mad at you because you abandoned them. I don't know why they ever believed that you would be something like a decent caretaker of their children or help them make life. You know, I don't know what people tell each other when they're in the bed together. I didn't do that. When I was in the car with my fiance, we spoke about how many children we want. Two is what we had. Okay? We said that we would buy one house. I'm still in it from 1974. She's gone. She's dead. Well, she's dead to this world. She's not dead because, see, once you're alive, you're always alive. there's another theological bent that you have to deal with on yourself. You think that when you're dead, you're done. You're not. When you're dead, you're just in a different state of mind. But your conscience, your memory, everything is still there. Absolutely everything. As a matter of fact, everything that I'm saying right now, the Bible says this. It says, we shall all stand before the judgment seat to give an account of the deeds done in our body, whether good or bad. Now, some of you evangelicals may say, you didn't quote the verse right. The judgment seat of Christ. Okay, of Christ. I'll put it to you this way. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ in crises to give an account of the deeds done in our bodies, whether those deeds are good or bad. We will all give an account. We will. Hey, now somebody makes a baby, and that baby comes on the planet screaming. My baby's going to need some diapers, some food, some shelter over her head. Growing up in this American society, we're not growing up like the people of Nepal. They're living all on the hillside, the mountainside. They had huts and shacks out there, and the earth shook, the plates snapped each other, and all these people are homeless, living under the stars, devastated, thousands buried dead, alive. Well, and the city's judgment is coming our way in this country sometime. And I'm not talking about no ISIS or no terrorists. I'm talking about the judgment of he who owns this planet. And everyone that makes a baby and doesn't take care of it, don't worry, no sweat. God will judge, if not in this life, in the life to come. That's my belief. Just like God is going to judge me in the life to come. Wait, check it out. God is going to judge you in the life to come also, whether you believe the way I do or not. Now, if that made you upset, if that statement made you upset, that lets you know whether you're in acquiescence with God or not. And please don't try to lie, because God knows whether you hate him. He said you will give an account of the deeds done. So for all these people that look at black people and say, see, black people are stupid and ignorant because they don't even take care of their own children, and that's why the welfare rolls are high and everything. Man, come on. Come on. That's in everybody, not just in black folk. And the ones that go to jail, well, yeah, see, they're set behind. Mayweather Floyd, the boxer, he's rich, made all that money, right? Somebody even mentioned to me that maybe Pac-Man took a dive. Let me tell you this. Men will be men. Women will be women. Now, the righteous person is one that is seeking after God's own heart. What did it tell me in the Bible about King David? It said David was a man that was searching after the heart of God. Hey, don't get it twisted. David also had Uriah the Hittite killed, and he raped Bathsheba and made baby with her. In the same way these young men in the streets are making baby. Oh, I know. What did I do? Commit a sacrilege because I told you the truth within its biblical context? It was just sex with David. When he had sex with Bathsheba, it was just sex. He didn't mean anything. That's why he tried to cover it up. See, this kind of behavior has been going on for eons. And now I know that my Bible is an ancient text, some 3,500 years old written, and probably older than that. Some of the concepts my students of philosophy tells me of Adam and Eve and the beginning and all that stuff starts years and years and years ago and did not have its genesis in the American disposition of truth. Because a lot of people think that we Americans set the pattern of what the Bible means. I'm sorry, the Bible wasn't even written for this continent over here or for people over here originally, if we get that right. And if we get the writ right again, wait a minute. You see that picture on my website right now? You came to the website, right? You see that picture on that website. And that picture is me and Morio Canto. Yes. I see. I just had someone write me and they asked me where Morio was because there was an earthquake in Papua New Guinea and they didn't know whether Morio, the young man standing up with the guitar next to me in that picture, was he in New Guinea because Morio was on his way there. And so he was wondering if Morio was there. But no, Morio is in another country. So, I'll let him know. Anyhow, you see that young man standing next to me? While he's taking his tours this time, when he was in Puerto Rico, he was telling me, John, these women are beautiful here, just beautiful. And I said, remember the lessons that I taught you when you live with me. You're 26, 27 years old now. You do whatever you want to do, but remember the lessons that I taught you. I said, you're on your third world tour. You have business to take care of. You have stuff to get done. You don't have time to fool around with women. And I said, and if you fool around, and check out what happened. He wanted to go dancing with a woman, and the woman wanted to go dancing with him. And when he went out with the woman, it came out that the woman was married. Morio immediately cut off the relationship or, you know, the dancing thing with her and left her. He just left her cold. And he said, how could she do that? I said, Morio, it's just sex. That's how she can do it. And Morio was outraged. He said, you were right. Just what you did. I said, I told you to watch out for these hussies. These hoes will back you up in a corner and mess up your life. Yes, I called them that. Just like I would call the men the same thing. Anyone that would do anything like that is nothing but a whore. Now, I'm not making a judgment of God on anybody's character or anything like that. But when it's sex, and that's how the county rolls. Grows up. I just thought that I'd do this to let you know that every black person is not looking for that. See? Because I believe that this moralness is put in each individual by God alone. And you don't have to become a church boy or a church girl to be like this. You just have some dignity, some respect for yourself. Respect for yourself. It's very natural and normal for someone to have a very intimate relationship with another person. I like the fact that when I'm around people and they like being intimate, and I'm not talking about having sex. I'm talking about intimate, just to touch, to feel, to hold, to embrace. To love, that is so beautiful when it's done genuine. Often, I have with the young men that I mentor, I have great differences with them. And when I have these differences, I tell them to get the Hades out of my face. I say, I don't want to talk with you. I've already made my statement. Hey, listen, they get all angry and everything. Well, I hate you. And I say, all right, go ahead, hate me, man. Bye. Next thing I know, boom, 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 boom. Somebody knocking on the door. I said, what? What you doing? What you think I'm doing? I'm working. I'm doing this. And then they look at me. Can I come in? For what? You know, I'm just playing with them. I said, for what? Can I come in? Only if you hug me. What you think them boys do? That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Can you love a brother that way? Can you? No, I'm talking to you. You know who I'm talking to. You. Can you love a brother that way? I always talk about what's happening in the inner cities. Now, can you love a brother that way? You blooming church hypocrite. Oh, I know who you want to hug. You want to hug Brother Smith's son because he plays on the church basketball team, huh? Now, I'm talking about that dude that be walking in front of your house all the time, looking like he's shiftless, ain't got nowhere to go. You out there watering the lawn. You know who I'm talking to. And then you just gonna say, oh, all you out there doing is just having sex. A lot of these boys don't have daddies that give a damn about them, if they have daddies at all. Their mamas have put them out the house because they're grown men, and I'm discovering that these boys are growing into men. I'm thinking about five right now that are moving on from 23, 24 years old like that, and that's when they're blossoming into men. Not only are their bodies expanding, but their minds are. I have these young men tell me that they're tired of being adolescents because they're trying to find their way. Now, once they, and I got to speed this up because I got to go to work and I'm late already. You see, once they attempt to find their way, they need a path of love that gives them the encouragement to find that way. You can't find it for them. They have to find it for themselves. And everybody's not going to do the same thing. Everybody has to find their own little niche. They have to find their own place that they're looking forward to building a life in. And this really takes some determinate effort on the behalf of the person that is trying to get their life better. Now, you can help in that process. And just by, don't try to tell these boys to stop having sex with these girls. Don't try to do that. That's not going to happen. That's the only pleasure they get sometimes when they're living in this inner city. I know what I'm talking about. I see it around me all the time. I try to warn them because of venereal disease and all the other diseases that are out there. And I try to keep them safe that way. But at the same time, what you have to do is, just like I'm doing in that picture, buy you a set of bongo drums. Start playing the drums while he's playing that guitar. See, if you go to Mario's Facebook, you find a guitar strapped to his back while he's in one of those foreign countries. He's learned how to play that thing so well that he plays that instrument that makes him money, because I was with him when he bought the guitar, put the designs on there, and I bought the drums. $300 for those bongo drums that I paid. Another boy that was here in the house with me took the drums and sold it for money. Oh, yeah, because when you help these young men, some of them do the right thing, some of them do the wrong thing. But that's the chance you take when you love these boys. Now, this is what I want you to do. Stop talking about why the black men, especially you white boys out there, that want to live. You know, you want to look at what's happening in the community, and you want to make these blanket statements. No, no, no. You haven't taken enough time to feel the tension. Okay, 28 minutes. That's all I can give to this webcast. I hope that I make a little sense to you. Remember, it's one thing to quote the Bible, but it's another thing for you to live what you just quoted. This is PJ in the Lucy Coleman studio on this Tuesday morning. As a matter of fact, it's the birthday of one of these young men that I know, and he said he's going to drop by tonight to get a birthday gift from me. He thinks he's going to get a birthday gift. That's what he thinks. Yeah, that's what. Oh, my goodness. I had a little rascal just jump up on my porch and jump off my neighbor's kid next door. Ah, man, it's wonderful to be alive. Thank God for you. I love you guys out there. And you know what? I hope you love me, too. God bless you. Whatever you do, you know the drill. Stay in the Word.